In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of our sister Corinne Duran, for Father Graham Golden, Father Patrick Duffy as well. These good priests. Augie, it's good to see you again. 5 Masses served in 5 days straight, in essence? I think it's 5. Do you know what day of Christmas it is, anybody? How many of you only knew that because I mentioned that at the beginning of the rosary? Okay, good. Well, at least you're paying attention, though. So that's never a bad thing. I encourage everybody to cheat in church. Cheat in church to get the right answer. Cheat on your right. Selena, remember that? I told you you could cheat on your confirmation exam to be able to do so because I just want you to get the right answers. Right, Katrina? Good. So it's only important to have the right answers, to know them, and then secondly, from that, to be able to live them out. And so does anybody know on this 11th day of Christmas, it's the 11 pipers piping. What did the 11th day of Christmas, those 11 pipers piping, represent? No? 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 You got it, Augie? Is it an important 11 number? That's right, 11 faithful apostles. 11 faithful apostles. There were 11 faithful apostles, and does anybody know the name of the unfaithful? And you spit when you say that name. No, you don't have to do that. Don't do it in church. Don't do it in church. No, it's a fun thing to do, though. So we have today the feast of one of the great saints of the church. In fact, the first canonized saint in America. First canonized saint in the United States of America today. Do you know, does that give you a hint on who he is? John the Baptist, right? John the Apostle? John Neumann. So it looks like Newman on the paper, but it's Neumann. He was a bohemian man. He was a man who so ardently desired to be a priest, but they wouldn't let him be ordained. Why wouldn't they let him be ordained a priest? Do you know, Augie? Why they wouldn't let him be a priest? It wasn't because he wasn't smart enough. It wasn't because he wasn't strong enough. It wasn't because he didn't love the blessed Lord Jesus enough. It was because in Bohemia, they had too many priests. They had too many priests. And so he just couldn't get into the seminary. Just couldn't get into the seminary. That's how many priests were studying at the time. And so he said, well, if I go to America, there's not as many priests there because they're very anti-Catholic in America. Maybe I can be a missionary priest and they'll ordain me and then I can be a priest. And so that's what he did. He went all the way over from Europe to come to the United States just so he could finally become a priest. Later on, joined the Redemptorist Order and then was established in the diocese. I've celebrated Mass, I believe, 3 times in my life in the parish where he was first assigned as priest in Buffalo, New York. Buffalo, New York, which is the home parish of a man who was my spiritual director at one point. He's there in Albuquerque, a great, great man of Buffalo, New York. Well, he himself desired all, with the whole of his life, to give it to God and just to be a priest. That's all he wanted to do, and overcame so many obstacles just to become a priest, leaving not just his mom and dad to be a couple of hours away, but to be entire continent away, an entire ocean away, just so he could serve God and do what he knew what he was called to do, to be a priest. He didn't have it easy. Wasn't easy being a priest in that time, just like it's not easy to be a priest at this time, but yet he persevered through all those things and lived such a holy, self-sacrificing life and giving everything to his parishioners who were there that they said, well, he would make a good bishop in a country that has very few bishops. And so they named him to be one of the most important bishoprics in the entire United States, Philadelphia. Philadelphia. And he felt it was way too much for him all the time. He said, I'm just a simple man. I struggle so hard to be able to speak this English language so that people can understand it. And I want to give my life to them, but it's hard for me to do so. And I'm a simple person. So hanging around in the hoity-toity society, the high society of those who lived in the upper crust there in Philadelphia, he said, I don't mix with them well. I'm just a regular guy. Just a regular guy. And so he struggled in so many ways, but he loved Our Lady. He loved Our Lady. And because of that profound love of Our Lady, he entrusted everything it was that he had to do as a priest, everything it was that he had to do as a pastor, everything that he had to do as a bishop, he put it at Our Lady's feast, particularly under the title of the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception. It said, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, you are immaculately conceived, take care of everything. Take care of everything. They're your children more than they're mine. I'm your son too, so you gotta take care of me as well. And even through all his difficulties and his hardships, he was able to find something in that to be able to do something great. Something great. He started the parochial school system in the United States of America because he looked around and he saw that the Catholic kids were not being educated very well, just like Elizabeth Ann Seton. They grew up there within the church about the same time. It was Elizabeth Ann Seton, actually, who went to Bishop Neumann in that way and said, what are you going to do about your Catholic poor, your Catholic children who aren't having a good education, who are losing their faith and don't know to read and write? And he turned it back on her. He said, no, Elizabeth, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to make sure that your Catholic children are well educated in the faith? And so that started her down the path of making sure that she would give her entire life to the education of Catholic men and women, the poor ones, the indigent, those who didn't have any sort of education, couldn't pay anything for it, to be able to do so, starting her Sisters of Charity in that way. But Bishop Neumann struggled in those ways and was helped through the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. Here's something interesting about his life I just found out today, I never knew before, is that on the day when the Pope was struggling with the idea of the Immaculate Conception as being a universally proclaimed dogma, when it was finally proclaimed and he, along with other bishops of the United States, went together and said, we want the Immaculate Conception to be our patroness. We need she who is immaculately conceived, and particularly she who gives us that miraculous medal of her Immaculate Conception, to do some great miracle in this land of America who's struggling so much to have some semblance of religious freedom, because Catholics have always been persecuted in America. He was one of the bishops who was very close to the Pope when he physically, I'm talking physically close to the Pope, when he was making that proclamation solemnly in Rome. And so, sort of at random, as it were, because he wasn't told ahead of time, they brought up this short bishop, because he's very short, went up to him and said, hey, could you hold this for the Holy Father? And so he was the one who held the proclamation as the Pope proclaimed it, and that so greatly impacted him that for the rest of his priesthood, the rest of his bishopric, he always put everything under the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. He said, I was there. She's my mother and immaculate. And so was impressed upon it in this way. And I will share with you something about the end of his life. At the end of his life, just like I told you, he always felt like he was insignificant. He felt like he wasn't good enough to do so many things. He said, I'm just this poor rural guy. Why was I even made a bishop to begin with? Here in this foreign land to serve these people that I love so greatly, but I don't feel like I'm adequate for the position because I'm not a great manager of things. And I'm really not up to task of hanging out with those who are higher in society. I'm just kind of too simple, a bumpkin. He used similar words such as that. And so he turned in his resignation, in essence, to the Holy Father, which we read every year as priests on this feast day. Wasn't saying that he was resigning, but saying, if you see it fit that I'm not able to do so, move me off to some small diocese that's being recreated here and give somebody else this big, important place. They'd do better than that. But I just want to serve God with the whole of my life. And I want to share with you, because we need good priests, share with you something that he wrote as his prayer as a priest, asking for God's grace in his life and in those of others. And I'll preface it with this way. He calls upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, obviously. He submits himself humbly before God in his weaknesses. He wants to be put in his place, to be humbled constantly. But he also makes a beautiful prayer at the end of this where he says, and I pray specifically to the guardian angels of all those who I serve, who I'm called to serve as their priest, as their pastor, as their bishop, that they would do the good things for them that I'm not able to do, to open them up to receiving God's graces. This is what I'm actually going to read this as I'm praying it for myself again, like I prayed it a few times already today, but also to think that this is what your priests, what your bishops, what those who are over you should be praying, and if God calls you to the priesthood, to do the same. This is what this good first saint of the United States says. He prays, my God, possess me, that I may become a fit instrument of your graces and your mercies to the souls which you have given to my care. And you know that if you know that success will make me a person of vanity, do not on that account allow me to fail. Humble me in some other way, but do not punish me through those you have entrusted to my care. My heart, O Lord, it's pierced with sorrow when I hear that even a single one of my sheep is lost. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. Don't allow that any one of those whom you have entrusted to me should ever be lost. O my Jesus, I will pray. I will fast. I will suffer, and with the help of your grace, sacrifice even my life itself. Lord, make my words have power and healing effect, that they may glorify the truth, you who are truth. And as for me myself, I am fully satisfied with all the labors that you've assigned to me in your vineyard, for when I came here to atone for my sins and to win souls for you, my God. Nowhere can a better opportunity be found for doing good than where you ask me to go. God, may you grant me the grace to do my duties with a worthy and fruitful manner. Jesus, you know that I am poor, and in so many ways I'm very ignorant. And I've been chosen as a shepherd to your sheep. Give me an ever-increasing love for those souls redeemed with your precious blood, that I may work always for their salvation in wisdom and in patience and in personal holiness. Grant that not one of those who you have given to me may ever be lost through my fault. Oh, my Jesus, help me to make holy those you've committed to my care. O Holy Mother of my Lord, pray for me and for all those who have been placed in this vineyard over which I have been placed as shepherd. Holy guardian angels of these dear ones, teach me how to act toward them so as to be able to instill within their hearts the teachings of the faith and the true love of God. Lord, teach me how to live, and if need be, teach me how to die, so that all may be saved, and that all may love and praise you throughout all eternity, that they may also love and cherish your dear mother. That's the way a saintly pastor prays. That's the way a saintly pastor behaves. May God always grant you who are here today saintly pastors, or at least pastors after the heart of such a saint, St. John Neumann, first saint of the United States. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.